tell us a little bit about them.
I certainly shall. I'd like to start off by reading a passage from the Book of Enoch. This is a pseudepigraphical book, which means that even though it's attributed to Enoch, it was probably written by someone else. This book is found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's at least 2,000 years old, might be a little older. And let's see what it says. And it came to pass when the children of men had multiplied that in those days were born unto them beautiful daughters. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them and said to one another, come, let us choose wives from among the children of men and have children with them. And here's a very important name to remember. And Semyaza, who was their leader, said unto them, I fear that you will indeed not agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And the other angels said to him, let us swear an oath, and all bind ourselves by mutual agreement not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. So they swear an oath to Semyaza, and then they land on Mount Hermon. And what happens, of course, after that is they take the women of Earth, and they go into them, they have sex with them, and the children that are born are the Nephilim. The Nephilim are the offspring of what I believe to be angels, fallen angels. In the Hebrew it says, B'nai Elohim. In the Old Testament scriptures, in the Hebrew scriptures, that B'nai Elohim is always indicates angels. Now, it doesn't differentiate between good angels or bad angels, but it's always angels.
Right. Now, did these angels, these fallen angels, Lynn, manifest themselves to look human, or did they look human in the first place?
Good question. Real good question. And, of course, the text really doesn't answer that. Let me point to another story which might answer that.
Okay.
All through ancient Hebrew scriptures, when angels do appear, oftentimes they're just mistaken as men. So I believe that they were probably very good-looking men.
Right.
But I also believe that they have the ability to shape-shift, and we can get into that later.
Okay. So they come down. Shemyaza is what? They're
kind of the ringleader.
Lead angel. Okay.
Correct.
A good guy, right? A good angel?
No, I believe he was a fallen angel, one of the
okay.
bad guys.
Okay. Okay. So his mission then wasn't well intent.
Well, what they're doing, you know, if you actually get into the story and you read it, what I think the whole purpose of this thing was to somehow ruin the genetic line of man. And there's a reason for that. We can get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this, when they first came down to the time of the flood, which is the judgment for what they did and wipes out, according to, if you believe the stories, I do believe the stories, wiped out over the earth. It was a global flood. If that really happened, then you have about 400 years from the time they first touched down on the planet to the flood. So a lot of mischief was done. A lot of stuff happened. And they also, in order to do that, in order to gain the access to the women, and here's a point which you might get into a little bit later, in order to gain the access, they actually had to have permission from mankind. And what they did is they dazzled early man, or at least the people that were inhabiting the earth, with some sort of technology. And it says specifically weapons. They showed them weapons. And of course, if we leap up into, let's say, what we all know is the Roswell incident,
right,
and what happened there, and the technology, people like Bob Lazar talk about, you know, the technology, the back engineering, and, you know, all that is, I don't want to say folklore, but people have come out and talked about it. And when enough people start talking about it, you begin to wonder. But there are similarities between the Roswell trade and the trade that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. There seems to be like, okay, we'll give you access to the population, we'll give you access to the women, we'll take the weapons and everything's fine.
Or maybe the fallen angels scared the heck out of humans at the time with their weapons. Maybe we didn't have a choice.
That's kind of interesting. Although I kind of lean to the way the text says that they didn't, there seemed to be like a mutual agreement. I mean, you know, here are the weapons, these look good, and, you know, we'll give you access to the women. But I hear what you're saying. That's a possibility.
Because,
the text,
you know,
doesn't go into that, but you know, you might be able to read that.
You know, why, for example, you go into Iraq and hand weapons to insurgents to say, hey, we want you to calm down, we want to be able to breed with your women, and here's some weapons. I mean, it's like you're giving weapons to someone who's going to turn and use them on you.
Unless, of course, you're dealing with a supernatural being, an interdimensional being.
True.
Which had so much power to begin with that it was just, you know, they can appear, let's say, in a very benevolent way, a very kind, gracious way. And, of course, what we're talking about is deception here. So these guys, the men of the earth, believe what they're saying, take the weapons, they're dazzled by it, And let's say the deception continues. Of course, it reaches a point where they realize that they've been duped.
And one of the things I'm going to want to find out from you is your thoughts on, because this crosses spirituality and also the possibility of universal science, in that these fallen angels possibly could have been extraterrestrial beings, right?
Well, I mean, this is the whole crux of the matter. It's like we either have to agree on what the texts are saying and what the people who wrote the text believe that they were looking at, and then we have is there an overview that we can take over thousands of years from different texts that basically talk about the same thing. So if we believe that they're extraterrestrials, that's one worldview. If we believe that they're disembodied, or if we believe that they're fallen angels, it's a separate worldview. And of course, the more I study about fallen angels, the more it seems to fit and really cover all bases. It covers the abduction phenomena. It covers the breeding program, which of course I believe that the Antichrist will show some sort of a connection to what we call alien presence. But I just think that if you have two worldviews here, and my worldview is that these are fallen angels. They're interdimensional beings, and some of them are very, very powerful.
Tell me more about the ancient manuscripts that you've researched, because to me that's critical. The people who wrote them, the stories that they carried on.
Well, let's take, for instance, I mean, the Book of Enoch is an amazing book. And actually, in the Ethiopian Bible, it precedes the Book of Genesis. So it gives you an idea that, you know, certain sections of Christianity have embraced the book, while
sure.
other sections have not embraced the book.
Apparently inspired by God, but who do you think really wrote the book?
Hard to say. I have no idea. It could have been an oral tradition by Enoch, and of course passed down and eventually written down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most things were done in an oral tradition. But what I love about it is it's a window into the antediluvian world. It's a window into what happened if we believe in the Noah flood. And of course, you know, the Sumerians, you know, have a flood story. The Chumash Indians out in California have a flood story.
Right. Well, that's
true. It seems to be universal. And so I do believe in the flood story, and I believe it was a universal flood. I don't believe it was located, let's say, in the Middle East. So, you know, you've got this incredible dynamic happening with these beings that are here, and the Book of Enoch gives us a window into what happened. And other scriptures or other texts really, you know, they kind of gloss over it. For instance, the Genesis story in the Bible, a Christian Hebrew Bible, talks about that in Genesis 6, talks about the flood, talks about the fallen angels coming down, talks about the Nephilim, but it doesn't really get into the depth of it the way the Book of Enoch does, where, you know, the fallen angels realize that, you know, we've really goofed here, we shouldn't have done this, and they send Enoch with a petition. And Enoch comes back to them, and this is amazing when you think about it. Enoch comes back to them and says, this is the answer. You shall have no peace.
Hmm.
You shall have no peace, which is an incredible statement. And, of course, the angels or the fallen angels are just blown away by this.